So all the excitement, all the focus, and prakim, and prakim, and prakim. Truma tzadah v'yakov kikudei. Talking about building the Mishkan, and again, leading up to Vayhi Hayom, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day that's highlighted in Parshas Pekudei, and the days that surround it of Miluim, and of Karbanas HaNasiim. Now we actually come to Chumash Vayikra, and begin to talk about the Karbanos. Up until now, Karbanos have been mentioned in passing, and now all of a sudden you open up Chumash Vayikra, and the Karbanos are front and center. We're no longer making reference to, you can have this Mizbeach, and you can use, by the way, you can use this Mizbeach for an Olah, for a Zevach, for Hakarbas Karbanos. So now, the Chumash is directly focused on the Karbanos. And that's going to be a major focus in Torah's Kohanim. Vayikra and Tzav. The Shemini will be specific, as we were saying a few minutes ago. Shemini is going to have the narrative, the very mixed narrative, great Simcha and great Tsar. The opening day of Karbanos HaNesiim, the way Rashi works it out, the day after the Miluim, the Mishkan is open for business, and the tragic death of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's two older sons, mixed together with more about Karbanos. Tazria Mitzar is going to be introducing major issues of Tumah V'Tara, as well as the Karbanos that are brought by many of those people to become Tar. Achrimos will be more of specifically the rules of Karbanos on Yom Kippur, as well as certain ways that one should not bring Karbanos, not to bring Karbanos Shchutei Chutz, Halah B'Chutz, not to bring Karbanos outside of the location that's designated. Even Kedoshim, which is by design a very diverse mix of mitzvahs, Karbanos appears there. And then again, in Amar, is more Torah's Kohanim, rules for Kohanim in general, as well as Karbanos in particular. Most of Chumash Vayikra is very, very focused on Karbanos. So the Ramban points out in his Akdama, he talks about the structure of Torah's Kohanim and the fact, understanding how all these different topics fit in overall into the theme of the header, the title of Torah's Kohanim. But I want to take a look instead at part of the Ramban, 9 Psukim in. And this Ramban is going to help us to begin to make sense of the idea of Karbanos. So we're not going to see everything he has to say, especially since halfway through he waves a flag and says, and now we're going to talk about Kabbalah. So that's our cue. That this is the stop, we get off the bus, we're not ready to travel further. But let's see some of what he has to say. And he's going to, Kedarko Bakodesh, we've seen so many times, part of the gift of the Ramban is to look at something that we've heard so tens of times before, but like now to actually, with the Ramban's, hand in hand with the Ramban, to actually look at the Psukim with open eyes and notice, like, well, what does that mean? And what does that mean? Now that I'm looking with a maturing analytic guy, Ola. Carbon Ola, right? That's opening topic. The opening couple of paragraphs, not just the first parsha, but the first several parshas in this week's Sedra, in Vayikra, deal with the carbon Ola. Carbon Ola brought from different types of creatures. You have a carbon Ola of Bakar, have a carbon Ola of Tzon, a sheep or a goat, and so on and so forth. Later on, we hear about the car. You can have a carbon ola of a bird. You can have a carbon mincha, which in many ways is a vegan equivalent, a vegan parallel of the carbon ola. It's a plant-based flour and oil and spices, lavona. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to worship Him with the full range of His creation. Animal, plant matter, and inanimate alike. See, here we are. Ola. So what do you mean that's a carbon ola? So he begins with Ola Isha Reach Nichoach Lashem. A line that we've heard so many, hundreds, if not thousands of times, just listening to Lane. What do those words mean? Ola Isha Reach Nichoach Lashem. Never wonder. Apparently it means something very important. The Chumash says it often. So the Chumash says often, we might get desensitized to it because we hear it so often. But at the same time, thinking about it, if the Chumash says it often, obviously it's telling you ideas you need to hear often. So what exactly are those ideas? What do the words mean? I know what carbon ol is. Carbon ol is a type of carbon that's totally burnt, as opposed to other carbonos, which are chatas, the shlamim, the asham, the carbon pesach, and so forth. Other carbonos are partially burnt in mizbeach and partially consumed by human beings, either kohanim or the bailim or a mix of both. Carbon ol is entirely consumed by the thighs in the mizbeach. There's no part of it for human consumption. It's ola. It goes up. Ola. So, but I already told you that it's the carbon ola. So why is the Torah repeating? Ola isha ve'ach nevarosh. Right? Specifically, in ola, in isha. So Rashi says, he first quotes Rashi. Ola means l'shem ola. It's meant that you have to bring it with the intent that it should be a carbon ola, as opposed to being makriv a ya'ola with the intent it should be a chatos or a rasham. Okay. Isha. What is an isha? Not an isha. Isha is a woman. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about here. Isha. So this is related to the word isha, woman, is related to the word ish or enosh. That's why there's a dagish in the shem. That's the missing nun. And that's why anosh, the plural of ish is anashim. The plural of isha is nashim. Because it relates to the word enosh. That nun that's missing in the singular. But Isha is related to the word Esh. Rashi says, Kishish chateni yeshoch l'shem ha'esh. Asher this carbon, I have in mind that it's going to be going on the fire. V'chol Isha l'shem Esh. The word Isha, Rashi says, always, not Ish, again, not Isha with a kamat, which is woman. This is unrelated. This is Isha with a segol. Isha is l'shem Esh. That's where Rashi says, that's what it always means. Throughout the Tanakh, you see the word Isha, it means something that's headed for the fires. Something that's going to be incinerated atop the Mizbeach. And what's with Nichoach? Reach Nichoach. Nachas Ruach. Nichoach says, Nachas Ruach lefonai. Shamarti v'nasu etzonai. Nichoach means that it gives, so to speak, gives Nachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he takes pleasure in the fact that we are following his instructions. Lashon Rashi, that's a Rashi. Now Rabban says, okay, let's roll up our sleeves, let's get to work. Now, number one, Rashi didn't explain. What do you mean, L'shem Esh, as opposed to what? And this is, the terms that Rashi is using are largely based, the Torah Zvachim talks about, you bring a carbon, L'shem Isha, L'shem Rech, L'shem Nechav, the Gemara explains that a little bit. So Rabban says, look, Rashi just quoted the Gemara, L'shem Ha'esh. He explained to us a little bit of the grammar, the philology of the word Isha. Isha is related to Esh, okay. But what do you mean, L'shem Esh, as opposed to what? These are instructions. But no, first and foremost, before the Machshava, these are halachic instructions. The Chafetz Chaim famously pointed out. One of the Chafetz Chaim was very much a man, timeless, but also in the moment. He was very, if you read the Chafetz Chaim's farm, you see the picture of the Chafetz Chaim, he looks very otherworldly. Even if you see the real picture, not the fake picture, he looks like he was a very, very holy tzaddik. He was a very, very holy tzaddik. There are multiple reliable accounts of interactions various people had with the Chafetz Chaim, which indicate the Chafetz Chaim, by the end of his life, was experiencing some type of Ruach HaKodesh. He was a very, very holy man. In the picture, it looks like, you know, he was a holy man who was sort of otherworldly and not aware of what was going on around him. He was otherworldly, and he was also, no stira, incredibly aware of what was going on around him. You read his svarim, he wrote like 70, 80 some odd svarim, many of them like small kuntresim. Many of them were very, very targeted particular reasons. Like he wrote svarim for the Jews who were being taken by the Russians to be cantonists, to be soldiers for like 15, 20, 25 years of their lives. In part maybe because the Tsar needed more soldiers, but certainly in part because the Tsar wanted to rip the Judaism out of these Jews. So he wrote Svarim dedicated to them, to give them chizek, to give them dinim. He wrote Svarim, I think, Nitche Yisrael, either safer for the cantonists, or it is safer for Jews living in America. This is early 1900s. And you look at the Chafetz Chaim, and he looks very otherworldly. But then you read his svarim for Jews in America. He's fully aware of the highly inappropriate living arrangements that teenage boys and girls had in America. He's given like specific instructions about yichud, and here's what's going to happen. If not, he was totally finger on the pulse. Even the fact that he saw an issue with Shmiras HaLashon, that Lashon Hara was rampant, and decided to do something about it. What did he do? He said, well, I'm going to write a series of Sfarim that will both raise awareness and give people practical guidelines so they can step into Shmiras HaLashon. And he was incredibly successful. When you think about it, there's the change that's happened over the last 100 years because of his Sfarim, a sea change. He, another issue he saw, he said, Gula is coming. He said, the footsteps of the Mashiach are Nikar. He said, you look around, look at events unfolding in the last couple of decades. He was writing this in the early 1900s. It's clear that we're getting close to Tinos Mashiach. So he said, we need to be yearning for it. He said, I don't see people yearning for Mashiach. Yeah, if you ask them, do you believe Mashiach? Yeah, I believe Mashiach. He has a couple of contrasts, his most famous is a piece of Yeshua. We'll take a look at that at some point later in the year. But he had a brief contrast. They said, like, let's be honest, you actually yearn for Mashiach. What does it mean to yearn for Mashiach? And then he said, if you actually were yearning for Mashiach, so you would be planning. So he's famous for that image of the Chafetz Chaim with the suitcase under his bed, ready, packed and ready. When Mashiach comes, he had clothing supposedly was ready to put on. To go out and greet Mashiach? It was much more than that. He said, if we actually wanted Mashiach, we actually wanted Beis HaMikdash, you know what we would do? We would know what to do when we had Beis HaMikdash. It was Chafetz Chaim, right? Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you Beis HaMikdash now. Boom! It's here. Go. What are you going to do? Oh, I have no idea. Do we know what to do if we had Beis HaMikdash? Do you know where to start? Karbanos? What do you actually... Yeah, I've heard of an Ola and a Shlom. Okay, here's an animal, here's a knife, and here's a Mizbech. What are we actually doing? And what are the 5 steps, 10 steps that need to happen beforehand? So the Chafetz Chaim said, if we're actually with Tzapel Yeshua, part of what should be happening now, a number of things that should be happening, one of which is, we should actually learn Kachim. And learn Kachim Halach HaMaisa. And the Chafetz Chaim put his money where his mouth was. He wrote a series of Sfarim to make, not only did he write Musar and inspiration, which he did, to get people interested in learning Kachim, be mitzapa for Yeshua in general, and learning Kachim in particular, he also republished old Sfarim and wrote the old Rif. The Rif had written as Kitzur of the Halacha L'maisa Kitzur of the Gemara, the parts of Ralph and Zman Hazeh. The Chafetz Chaim created something called the Gutei Halachas, which is the Rif on everything else, like a Rif style sefer on all the Kachim Sugyas and Jas to make learning Kachim l'halacha doable. So he really believed in it, and there were other things he did also. He established a Kachim Hall. He really was sensitive to the issues, many different issues at the moment, and was really very practically working towards it. So we can do a little bit right now. We are on top of the Yeshua, so one of the many things we should be doing. First and foremost, these psukim are meant to be implementable instructions. So what does it mean? Come back to this specific material. What does it mean, Isha, 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 Isha? Keep hearing Isha. The Rashi says, based on the Gemara's Vachim, L'shem Eish. That's the Tanam Namah said. What do you mean? I'm Shechni in this carbon. Imagine you're coming to Beis HaMikdash. Or imagine you're a non-coming, and you brought your carbon to Beis HaMikdash. So you don't have to be a coming to Shech. One important thing in this week's parsha, Rashi points out, the base of Tanam and Rav points out Shvachim, the Rashi quotes in this week's parsha, if you look, as you begin to Marva Sedra today, you'll notice that Kohanim appear a lot, but only after the Shechita. It never says the Kohanim Shecht. It says, they Shecht, or he Shechts, and then the Kohanim catch the blood, and they begin to process the blood, do everything else. Shechita Ksheir Bazar. So regardless of whether you're a Kohen Levi Yisrael, you can Shecht your carbon. Number one, you have to know Hashach, and you have to have the right covenants. So what are these right covenants? Mirtz Hashem. The next couple of weeks, days, weeks, months, who knows? You could be shechting your carbon, or the fat matter someone else's carbon. It may take some time to learn Hashach. Okay, so it may take a little time. Or if you're squeamish, you can have someone else shech for you, absolutely. No requirement. You're not obligated to shech your own carbon. But you could. And maybe your base minister will come. You might overcome your squeamishness. Or you might.
I don't know if I'm squeamish.
Right, that's a good point. You might discover you're not squeamish at all. Or you might be the one who's teaching the halachas of kachim to other people who are doing what needs to be done. So regardless, in any of those scenarios, l'shem ha'esh, what is it? What should the shochet have in mind? What should the kohen handling the blood have in mind? What do you mean l'shem ha'esh? And watch the words. There's a word coming up because of the Gemara that should sound familiar from restaurant menus. With the Gemara oven, and the third one, la puki kivava dilo l'shem ha'esh, as opposed to l'shem kivava. You know what that means? You recognize that? If you're Sephardic, you might have a slightly easier, because of the way you pronounce Hebrew, you might have a slightly easier time figuring that out. L'shem Eish as opposed to L'shem Kevava. What does that mean? Yeah? Kebabs, exactly. L'shem Eish as opposed to L'shem Kebabs. No. What do you mean as opposed to L'shem Kebabs? So Rabban says, Upir Shubo, so the Gemara explains, Or the Rishonim explain that l'shem kevava, which would be a problem, we mean the following: you have to shefter so that you'll put it on a billowing fire that will burn it up. Lo lahalos al gabe gechalim omemos shemiskabos v'holchos, as opposed to putting it on top of dying out coals. Kevava is quoting from Rashi in the Gemara. A kevava is like milashon kiboy in Hebrew, to extinguish. It's going to go on a big fire, not on dying coals. The Rabban says, v'li nira, shetzarech lechavin shetochleno eish lagamre, lo shiitz lebal ma'at. Rabban says, it's not a question of how big the fire is per se, it's a question of what's happening to this carbon, what's happening to the meat of this animal. Is it going to be incinerated? That's what you want. L'shem eish means it's going to be totally burnt, as opposed to kevava, as opposed to getting roasted. You're not looking to roast this meat. You're looking to destroy this meat. It's a carbon ola. It's all being destroyed. The Eish HaMizbeach is not a cooking fire. The Eish HaMizbeach is a destroying fire. If you have some other carbon, a chatzas, an asham, an ola, a shlamin, a toda, that's going to be partially eaten. Okay, so the part that gets burnt to Mizbeach goes to Mizbeach, l'shem Eish, destroyed, and the part that's meant for people to eat does not go on Mizbeach. You cook that on your own fire. You cook it, you grill it, whatever you're doing with it. In the Sanhedrin, the eighth parak, kivasar kiba da'achle ganvi, roasted meat. Gemara in Erevin, nachbiv v'necho. So that's the first thing you gotta know. Kebabs. We're not looking for kebabs. L'shem Eish means you're going to put on a billowing fire, it's going to be totally incinerated. That's the plan with the Ola. Okay, so L'shem Ola, that's meant to be a carbon Ola, that flavor. There are multiple categories, you have in mind that category. Number two, red on his back is gone. L'shem Eish. And now we get to the more delicate, perhaps, ideas. Skipping down a line or two. Vina b'kosav hazeh tamar karbanos. The Torah is not only telling me what to do, but why to do, or for what purpose. What I'm doing is it's an Ola Isha. I'm shechting as a carbon Ola, getting totally burned the Mizbech. Why? To what end? Reach Nichoach L'Hashem, which the Gemara in Zvachim also says, L'Shem Isha, L'Shem Ola, and also L'Shem Reach, L'Shem Nichoach. What does that mean? Why are we bringing carbonos? For what? What are we trying to accomplish? So he quotes, this is one of the places where the Ramban quotes a Rambam in Mor Nevuchim and disagrees with him vigorously. V'amar Rav in Mor Nevuchim, number 98. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, what's the Rambam spends a lot of time, Mor Nevuchim is one of the Rambam's major philosophical works. It's the largest work that's dedicated almost exclusively to philosophy. And one of the major issues Ramban talks about in parts of Mor Nevuchim are the reasons for mitzvahs. When he talks about the reasons for karbanos, he says, what's the point of bringing the carbon? Because Baruch Hu needs my carbon. So right over here, Kitama Karbanos Bavur Shamitzvah Kastin. Rabban says, you know why we bring carbonos? And specifically, you notice right away in the beginning of Chumash VaYikra, carbonos are largely cattle and sheep and goats. Bakar Vatzon, says, you also bring, as we said, you can also have vegan karbanos, karbanos mincha, you can also have some have carbon ofos, but the primary focus over the course of Chumash is clearly Bakar Vatzon. What's with the Bakar Vatzon? It's not a deer, it's not an elk, it's always the behemoth, domesticated animals. What's it all about? It says the Rambam, because the Jews lived along in cultures, Mitzri culture, Mesopotamian culture, the Kasdim, and these cultures worshipped, deified Bakar Vatzon. HaMitzrim Ovdim L'Taleb, the Egyptians worshipped sheep. The HaKasdim Ovdim L'Shedim, Asher Yeru'u Lahem B'Demos Se'irim. In Mesopotamia, there was a very popular Avodah Zarah of demon worship. They worship Shedim, they worship demons. And the demons, the Chumash says, later in Chumash, that the demon worshippers often use the image of a goat to represent the demons that they worship. The Anshe Hodu Ad Hayom. Wow. He says, till this day, Rabban writes in the 1200s, and I think it's true until this day in the 21st century, that there are people in India who don't slaughter bakar. Lo yishchatu bakar li'olam.
Cows?
Yeah. The term holy cow is not a term that Jews should be using. I mean, we do believe that cows are holy in the sense that we can makdash a cow to be brought as a carbon takadosh baruch hu. But in India, as, I don't know if it's as popular as it once was, but deification of cows. To see cows as fundamentally holy, they worship cows, cows get special treatment. So he says, there you have it. You have the cows and you have the goats and you have the sheep. So this was part of the idolatrous pagan Avodah Zarah culture that the Jews were living amongst. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I need to make sure the Jews don't fall into this. So Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you're going to take these animals and you're going to slaughter them as a carbon for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedei sheyivada, ki adavar sheyichoshim, ki heim betachas ha'avoda, hu asher yakiru labore. To clarify, this is not those domesticated animals, the cattle and the sheep, they're not the focus, they're not the target, they're not the to whom you are, that's not who you worship, you use them in worshiping the one you actually worship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the universe. Uvo yiskapru, that's number one. Rama says, number one, the very exercise of bringing these animals, these farm animals as karbanos, clarifies, reiterates, reinforces that these are not the deity. These are just vehicles for worshiping the true divine. HaKadosh Baruch. Number one. Number two, not only do we generally bring karbanos, but the Rambam says, look, a very dominant theme in karbanos, you already see it all over Parshas Vayikra, is kaparas avonos. The Torah doesn't say it explicitly by the karban ola, though Rashi quotes in the Gemara in Zvachim, that there may be a layer of that as well. The Karban Chatzos is very clearly about Kaparas Avonos. A lot of Parsha Vayikra is about various flavors of a Karban Chatzos. Towards the end of the Parsha, you have the Karban Olaviyorid, a different type of Karban Chatzos, and you have the Karban Asham, another Karban that's all about Kaparas Avonos. So what's that all about? Levoyis Kapar Havonos, Kichen Yisrapu'ua Emunos HaRaoshe Madve Enefesh. Why is it that I bring slaughtering an animal somehow helps me to get kapara? And again, the psukim give a lot of specific examples, particularly at the end of Vayikra. A person swore falsely in a financial context. He has to bring a carbon asham. Asham gazelos. Shulos ha'tikadim. A person walks into the Beis HaMikdash inappropriately when he was tummy. He has to bring a carbon asham. I swore falsely. I had a sikh with you about money. You claimed I owed you salary. You claimed I underpaid you for something. And I deny it. And I come to Bezin. I swear falsely. Then it turns out with the Bezin gets evidence, demonstrate that I swore falsely. God bring carbon ashen. What does it help to slaughter an animal if I swore falsely? Even if a carbon ashen has to do with it's an antidote to Avodah Zarah. What does an antidote to Avodah Zarah have to do with swearing falsely? You tell me. You tell me. How does answer Avodah Zarah help with some other Avera? Chumash ultimately is a lack of emunah. If I believe sufficiently, if I believe that Kodesh Baruch was here involved in it, I do believe that Kodesh Baruch was here involved in my life. But the more deeply I felt it, the easier time I would have making the right choices, even when it's hard. If I had total clarity that Kodesh Baruch Hu exists and is involved and knows and cares, if I had total clarity about that, I would never do a chet. It would never be worth it. It would be ridiculous. It would be like walking off, doing any aveira would be like walking off a cliff. It would be utterly absurd. Any aveira ultimately is rooted, at least in part, in the fact that I'm a human being who, by divine design, is living in a place which is all mazez. As Yisrael Sharm taught us months ago, it's Tashas Choshev V'Hilayla. By design, all mazez confusing and morally and spiritually dark. Things aren't 100% clear, so there's room to make mistakes. So every aveira is rooted in passion and desire, and every aveira is rooted in or passion, desire, or and or midos rose, and every aveira is rooted in a lack in my emunah. Doesn't mean I'm a kofar, I'm a mamet, but I'm not as big a mamet as I could be. So says the Rambam, here the Rambam is quoting him, Ubo yiskapu ha'avonos, 7 lines over the bottom, ki chen yisrapu ha'emunos, haro, she'ma'an be'anapet. The core illness of my soul, as it were, is a lack of clarity in emunah. Ha'amadim cho'choylo yisrapim ki im be'hafam. Is that the solution, the way I'm going to uproot that lack of emunah within me, the way I'm going to uproot the vestiges of Avodah Zarah, is the opposite. I'm going to take an item that's seen as the Avodah Zarah of the era, and I'm going to make it so clear that it's merely a creature of the actual Creator. This is merely something, this cow isn't fundamentally holy, this goat doesn't run the world, it's just a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I am, and I'm going to use this goat, I'm going to use this sheep, I'm going to use this cow as a vehicle for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's not in charge, he's in charge. Pinchas.
I'll ask you later.
Okay, fair enough. That's what the Rambam says. You know what the Rambam says? Buckle your seatbelts. Take a look. Rambam says, that's absurd. So that's silly. I would not use such language about the Rambam, but the Rambam did. Rambam was one of the great Rishonim, and Rambam was one of the great Rishonim. Rambam looked at the Rambam and said, "I think this is utterly absurd. He named Divrei Habai. That is silly. What's so silly? Very stubborn. Look, he makes a good point. Historically, this is the culture they were living in." And this is a way to undo Avodah Zarah, and Chet is rooted in a lack of depth of emunah. What's wrong? Anyone say a cautious about this? Take a look. Yirapu shever gadol kusha rabba al nikala. He's raising the Rambam says. Rambam's raising a great question, a fantastic question. We do need to understand what are we accomplishing with the karma. It's a very, very valid question. It is Shever Godel Vakusharab. It's a fantastic question. There's a deep gap in understanding needs to be filled. But it's very facile, Rambam says. You're very easily dealing very casually with a very profound question. He says, I don't think you've actually addressed it. Why? Number one, Yasu Shulchan Hashem Megalal. The table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Be'ach is merely a neno. It's you're making it disgusting. And neno rak lahot to me leaving shalasham v'tip she'olam. You mean to tell me, the Rambam says, and the entire enterprise of Karbanos is only about dealing with people who are so steeped in Avodah Zarah that I need to undo their Avodah Zarah thing. That's all it is. Karbanos are just merely anti-Avodah Zarah. That's really hard to understand. Rabban says, let's look at the evidence. Starting with our pasuk. Well, how did our pasuk describe Karbanos? Ola Isha, Reach Nichalach Hashem. Ola Isha is just straight. It's just halachic description. You know,
practical. Here's what description. Here's what you do. It's going to be carbon, totally burnt. It's going to be in a big fire. It's going to be totally. You're not roasting on the bed. You're destroying the bed. Okay. But we have the Chorach Hashem. It's a sweet smell. Takarish Baruch Hu. Something that's pleasing. Why? A cost of honor. Ki him lechem isha reach nichah. Sometimes the Torah even refers as lechem, as in, so to speak, again, metaphorically, but the metaphor means something. It's, so to speak, in human terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, food you're offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds like there's something inherently positive and valuable, affirmative about it. It's not just Lahotzi Mi Liban, some anti-negative. It says, number one, the Rambam says, you look at the psukim, it sounds like there's positive purpose to Karbanos. It's not just undoing that what is there. But the whole presentation of Karbanos, specifically Lechem Isher Eich Nichal Av Hashem. And plus he says, if that's the problem you're trying to address, the fact that the Jews lived in idolatrous cultures, and more of the Rambam goes on to say, they themselves were steeped in coming out of Mitzrayim, they were steeped in the idolatrous cultures. But cover crops was being rushed to be passed. Some of them already appear in the Gemara. Halalu ol devoda zara, halalu ol devoda zara. Malachim say the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Even after you see this Mitzrayim. Malachim say the Kodesh Baruch, I understand. You're saving the Jews and you're going to flood and destroy the Egyptians. Both sides are ol devoda zara. So Kodesh Baruch responds, but the facts are true. The Jews had great potential, but they were, at that point, still steeped, after having lived for centuries within the matrix of Egyptian culture, they were steeped in Avodah Zarah. So Rambam says, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to pull them out of it. He says, aside from the fact that the Chumash doesn't make it sound like that's all it is this going to work? Is this going to work? Rambam says, let me see. Vishtu sam shamashtrayim lo tisrachim ha'pasim. Who says that being makriv a sheep or a cow will solve the problem? Adraba, Tosef Machuk, to make it worse. Machshemes Harashom in his garden. Labo le Mazel Telel, Mazel Shar. He says the Egyptians were sophisticated. They weren't necessarily worshipping this cow or this sheep. It was the constellation. They saw certain sheepish or cowish concepts in Shamayim. There are constellations that look like a sheep or a cow, and they were worshiping what they saw as spiritual entities that corresponded to the sheep, to the goats, to the cows. So they could understand, they could reinterpret their carbon as reinforcing that. They might not eat the cow, that might be a covet. They could see this as this is a dangerous game to play, the Ramban says. Are you sure that slaughtering the animals that they worship would decrease their avodah zarah? Maybe it would show them there is great spiritual power. Rambam says, number one, you look at the Chumash, it seems like Karbanos is something positive. Even to the extent that you see, it's not even clear that number two, that it would be effective as anti avodah zarah. And then he goes on to have a third question. Let's skip down a few lines. The fourth line, page of Beis. In at the bracket, we know if it says of an ateva in Shloshes Banav. When do Karbanos appear in Chumash? So Chazal understand based on Pesukim and Tillim that Adar Rishon brought Karbanos. Who is the first person that Pesukim explicitly tell us which people are described as bringing Karbanos? Very soon after Adam.
No, good.
Even before Noach. Cain and Abel, exactly. So he talks about, let's see what he says. No, if it says something on a teva, no, if leaves a teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just rebooted human civilization. Ebalom kastio mitzri, hikrif karban, ebalom kastio mitzri. No, just, if there was an incredible clarity at that moment when they leave the teva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the show. No, because the Navi, who's in conversation at that point with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brings karbanos. What are they bringing karbanos for? If karbanos are merely anti-avodah zarah, they could have karbanos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pleased with it. The psukim make it clear that it wasn't a bad decision by Noah to bring a carbon. And as a result, the Pesukim described that that carbon was so positive that it led to Lo'osif Ol L'Kalel Sa'adama, Bura Adam. So you see in Parashas Noah that carbons are fundamentally positive and productive. And digging back even more, as you said, Hevel Gai Hevi Gamu, if the carbon said on the Chel Be'en. But Rishbaru didn't appreciate Kayin's carbon, but he did appreciate Hevel's carbon. Yishol Hevel Hashem and Hevel Nukhaso. Oh, I had dined all of Shepherds of Rosara Klau. This is Priya Vodazara. And here is another twist. Which other figure in Chumash is described as bringing karbanos, and for opposite reasons, it was not an anti-Avodah Zarah move? Bilam, right? Bilam. No, Bilam. Noah and Havel, it's not anti-Avodah Zarah because they're not dealing with Avodah Zarah. Bilam, Rabban says, it's not anti-Avodah Zarah because he probably did. It seems like he was very open to all sorts of occult and pagan and whatnot. He's not trying to eliminate a bad aspect of his Emunah. He's trying to carve Elokim. He's trying to create, pretty explicit, he's trying to create a greater closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's trying to bring down Nevuah. Now you might respond that Bilam is not the best Raya because okay, Bilam maybe misunderstood the idea of Karbon. Okay, and they didn't really work very well either. So Bilam was not exactly a smashing success with his Karbon. But if you're going to reject Rabban's Kashba, Bilam, Hevel, Noah, they're not dealing with that. It's not in Avodah Zarah context. And the Chumash is clear, as Rabban stressed. Chumash did not only that they chose to bring Karbonos, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that it was the right thing to do. You hear, both by Hevel and by Noah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. Very, very, very overwhelmingly positive response to their kavanos. So three major kashas. Number one, two major kashas of the Ramban against the Ramban's approach. Number one, Lechem Yishevech Nichach L'Hashem, the Torah is clear there's positive value to it. And it's not clear, and correct kasha number three, there are specific, historically specific moments when the Chumash describes bringing kavanos, Hevel, Noach, and perhaps Bilam as well, doesn't seem like it's anti-Avodah Zarah. And then the Kashi it has in the middle was, it's far from clear that it would be effective, the way the Rambam described. Is it clear that being mocked of a cow or a sheep would effectively serve to extract the Jews from Avodah Zarah as opposed to push it? It could be misunderstood to push them deeper in. Oh, you see, we're using the sheep to worship Rachman Atzlan, the Mazel Tov. We're slaughtering a cow or a bull to worship Taurus, and so on and so forth. It can be totally misunderstood. Rabban says, I find it hard to believe both of the evidence in Chumash here in the context of the halachos of Karbanos and the evidence in Chumash from the Agada in Chumash, from the narrative in Chumash about various individuals who brought Karbanos, as well as this thing about the psychology of it. All three fronts, Rabban says, I don't find the Rambam's interpretation appealing at all, which is why he said before, he thinks it's divrei hadai. He thinks it's facile and silly. The Rambam is pointed to a great kasha, but I don't think Rabban thinks that the Rambam did not at all adequately answer. And here he comes back to, he circles back here at that second bracket, to the opening kasha, l'shona karbanos. Come back to our pasuk. As karboni lachmi, the ishai reach nitochi. My carbon, my food, so to speak, for my fire reach nitochi. A pleasing odor. Chalila shleivam shum tonels for ratza rakshos la'bonizara midas hashotim. That's very hard to square with the pesukim. Yoseh ro'oi l'shmoa hatam sha'omrim b'hem. The Rambam says, I find the other approach much more appealing. What's the other approach? Rav Shabel in Thunder 11 points to the Ibn Ezra when he says this. Ki ba'avur shema'aseh b'nei ha'adam nigmarim b'mashava b'dibur b'masa. It's a that human beings operate in three different realms: thought, speech, and action. This goes back to the idea we've seen many times in a variety of svar, Pnimius and Chitzonius, Chovas Halvavas, Chovas Ha'evarim, and Dibra, as we've seen a number of times, both in terms of Mitzad Halacha and B'machshava. Dibra is sort of an in-between borderline, sort of action and sort of thought. And we've seen in a variety of svar, most recently in the Seals Jaran, that HaKadosh Baruch has rich expectations, both for our Pnimius and Chitzonius, and that there's interplay between them. It says the Ramban, I told you the time we looked at Pastor from Seals Jaran, that we show Red talk about it. Let's say Rav Chanan talks about it, the Ram talks about it, and here we go. Human action, human enterprise is going to be expressed, put into play, both inside and outside, with machshava, with dibur, and with maaseh. So therefore, siva Hashem kasha yechata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I did a chet, I did something wrong, I didn't live up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations. Yavi karban. I'm gonna bring a karban, and what do I do? So here we come back to the Chafetz Chaim. So imagine, now you're a Jew, and we have a Beit HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us. We come today, we come tomorrow. All of a sudden, here we are in Yerushalayim, on Har HaBayis, in the Hazara, bringing a karban. So some karbanos will require them to come Tara first, other karbanos we can bring right away. Okay, so may take a week or so. We have to wrestle up a Par Aduma and process it, and create the ashes. It'll take a little time. Hazar Shlishi Shri to become fully tar. And there we are, within a matter of days, weeks, in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe a Jew says, once I did some chet, b'shogeg, a severe chet, a chet that chayv karas b'nezen, I was once b'chal shavas b'shogeg, I realized after, it's developed what I do, they have to bring karmel chattas. So what do I do when I bring karmel chattas? What do I do? So, what's the first thing that you have to mock? You go to the barn, you pull out an animal, a goat out of the barn, or you don't have a barn, instead you go to an animal dealer, and you buy a goat, okay, you bring it to the Sanitash, and you makdash it, so now say to this goat's going to be a karmel chattas, haray zu lachattas, and you bring it to the Sanitash, and what's first? Somach, exactly. So imagine and visualize that. You're walking up, you're walking through Yerushalayim. Most of all of us have walked down what's the Rechavot Teres Yisrael, right to those steps, going down. So there'll be far more important things than only being on the burgers bar on that road. We will still be eating, and we're still eating well, we most of the Mashiach. And imagine that those roads were also full of stalls of animal dealers selling sheep and selling goats and selling cows and selling birds and selling flour and selling oil and selling levona. All the things that a Jew needs as he's headed to Beis HaMikdash to bring his karbanos. So maybe you'll come, you'll show up, you'll come from Chomesh, you'll come from Metula, you'll come from Be'er Sheva with your karban, or you'll show up to Yerushalayim and buy the karban on the spot. Right? Some people go shopping in advance and some people stop right before. So they go shopping, different ways to do it. So you come to Yerushalayim, on the way you swipe the credit card, maybe, you buy your karban, and you walk in the Beis HaMikdash with your goat. And imagine going in beyond the Kotel. Imagine, the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine going to Beis HaMikdash, and you have your goat, and you're thinking about your chet, you're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're thinking about the gaps in your life, you're thinking about how it's going to be different, and Ray is different now, it's going to be even more different, even better, and you have that goat, and what do? You walk in this picture of yourself, an overwhelming experience at so many levels. What you see, and what you hear, and the Shir HaLevim, and the architecture based on the Sefer Chinuch, Maaseh Sefer, Parshas Truma, all this is an overwhelmingly powerful experience, and you have this goat, and Yismok yada balak keneged hamasa. And the first thing you do, you walk over to a kohen, you're a little sheepish, no pun intended there, sorry. You're a little embarrassed, and you say, I have to bring karmel chattas. You bring karmel chattas. He needs to make sure that you actually are chayav karmel chattas. He doesn't want a shecht, chulin bazara. he does have to have a conversation to verify it actually. I'd like to talk about it a little bit. I don't want to embarrass you, but let's talk a little bit and make sure that whatever you did actually warrants a carbon hatas. You visit that event, and he says, okay. So you say, well, what do I do? He says, okay, first thing you do, you will knock the shit, ready for chatas. The guy says, yes. He says, okay, so put your hands on the goat and lean. Put your hands on the head and lean in. Literally, lean in. Pressure. Support yourself on that goat, that's the smicha. And that corresponds to ma'isa. The first thing you do is you actually act with your hands. You physically put your hands on the goat and you lean in. You press down, and that's your smicha. Smicha's habaylim. V'yisvadev v'piv k'negrat. Why are you doing the smicha? You're verbally misvadev. You say you converse like a shvarav. I did the schat, this is why I did, and I feel terrible about it. I intend to be different in the future. Yisro ve'esh, then the kohen is going to take at least parts of it. Karban katas, it's not an olah. The meat is not burnt on the mizbeach, but the number of the organs are. Hakarav ha'kalayot, shem kleyav ha'chshava ba'atayva, various organs that correspond both to thought. Kidneys are organs of filtration that Chazal saw as corresponding to analytic thinking. And other internal organs correspond to the digestive system corresponds to daiva. So you take, so those are parts that are burnt, and the kra'ayim, kineged yad v'raglav, parts of the legs get burnt, and that corresponds to yad v'raglav sha'odav ha'usim kavlav. There's internal desire and thought that went awry, and then you act on that thought. So you have parts of the animal get burnt that the fellow is watching. The animal that he was just leaning on moments ago, the Kohanim very quickly found the shechted, the blood was on his back, and then the Kohanim begin to take apart the animal and remove the parts. These parts that get burnt on the fire on top of his back, the parts that remind me of thought, and parts of the animal that remind me of acting on thoughts that were not where they should have been, and actions as a result that were not what they should have been. This reminds a person, I was chotei HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my mind, with my heart, with my will, and with my mind. And I realized that the blood of carbon, I deserve to be punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me life which I misused. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechasto gives us so much extra slack. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives more chances and more chances and more chances. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives another chance to do it right. Instead, you have the turban. Damo tachas damo. Nefesh tachas nefesh. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. My thought went wrong. My body acted appropriately. So I see what happens with the carbon, and that helps me to reassess and to recenter and to refocus. And then he says, and why is it given to the kohen? Why is it a kachakachim, like a chatur or sardashim, the parts that are eaten, the meat, much of which is eaten? It goes to the Kohanim. Hamanos la'achayos la'emori ha'torah shisvalo. Number one, it's gonna. You're supporting the Kohanim, who are the teachers of Torah. The way the Chumash describes the way Klal Yisrael is organized as a society, there were some people, going back to the Sugya with Brachos on Hand Days, there were some people who were dedicated primarily to teaching Torah, and not working for a living in the usual way. There was the Kohanim, who were supported by Klal Yisrael, a small percentage of Am Yisrael, but the Kohanim were supported by Klal Yisrael. And they were, so to speak, the Kolo and the Mechanicum of Klal Yisrael. So every time you bring a carbon, other than a carbon ola, you're also supporting the Morei HaTorah. I'll add one more element to that, in terms of the Achilas HaKohanim, that fits very well with the theme that Ramban was developing. The Gemara Darshan from the Pasuk, I think Pasuk is next to the Pasuk, about who or some Asher Kupar Bahem. So that's a little bit of an enigmatic sentence. The Gemara says, Kohanim Ochlum Bailam Miskaper. When the Kohanim eat the Kache Kachim, it's part of the Kapara for the Baal HaKarba. The Jews bring the Karba. That explains why the Kache Kachim, you remember from saying Karbanos every day, the Kache Kachim, the Chatas, and the Yasham, only the Kohanim eat them, and only male Kohanim, and only in the Azara itself. Same rules as Avodas HaKarbanos. Only the male Kohanim, only in the Azara. They actually ate it. Just picture this for a moment. You walk into the Beis HaMikdash, standing in front of you is a towering building, the Heichal, the Ulam, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're in the fenced, the walled in area around it, the Azara. There is the Mizbeach, and there is the Kiyar. And here are Kohanim working on Karbanos, as in someone's shechting the carbon, calling or not, and catching the blood, and processing the Karbanos. And over there are Kohanim eating in the same space. You're bimakar Karbanos. The Kohanim, there are circles of Kohanim sitting and eating Basar Hazas, sitting and eating Basar Asha. In the Azara, Achilas Kache Kachim is the same Kohanim who will do the Avodah in the same place. They eat the Basar Kache Kachim. Chatzis Nasham is an Avodah of sorts. Bailam Ochlum, Kohanim Ochlum, Bailam Miskapu. That's what the Gemara says based on that positive. Achilas Kache Kachim. Chatzis Nasham. Kache Kachim, Ola's Kache Kachim, but there's nothing to eat. The Chatzis Ola, Kache Kachim, and Nechalim. The Achilas Kohanim itself was a form of Avodah. So, no one Rabban said, so you're supporting the Kohanim. You're supporting the Mori HaTorah. You're making a donation to a worthy cause that helps to undo the problems that you have. Moreover, it's also even more fundamentally, perhaps even more closely related. The same way the early stages of Havdalas HaKarban speak to the capture the fact that my Panimius and my Chitzonius went awry, that it was improper thinking and improper decision making that went into my Aveira. Then I improperly acted based on the improper decision making. I also immediately do that Latov. I'm then engaged in at least watching Achila done right. I watch what it looks like to engage physicality properly. I watch Jews eating meat in the most holy way possible. It's actually an avodah. The Kohen eats Besar Chada, the Kohen eats Besar Hashem. It's Mamash Achila Shal Mitzvah. It's the highest level of holy eating. We have holy eating Shabbos Yontif. We have holy eating in the sense of Achilas Matzah on Leil HaSeder. We have holy eating in Drabban coming up in a week, Sudas Purim. But the most overtly holy eating is what you watch. You bring a carbon chatz, you bring a carbon asham. And you watch the Kohanim. Mamish eating as a form of Avodah. Male Kohanim, Zichrei Kohuna, in the Azara Mamish, in the shadow of the Mizbeah, they're eating a flesh of Gemil. So that like sort of resets. That resets what things ought to look like. What my guf ought to look like, what my typhus ought to look like. I should engage them well and properly. Not for Achilas Chelev, for Achilas Karbanos. The Rabban says, now we're talking. This draws me in, this I find satisfied, and then the very last line, then he says, I don't like the Rabban, I like the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra's Machshava approach. It's not an anti-Avodah Zarah, but it's curious. And there's much more to say about this. Not only how it restructures my thinking about physicality, but also about the Kirvas Elohim. And then he says, here we're skipping the next two pages that we're not copying. He says that there's plenty of Kabbalah to talk about this as well, and we will follow Rabban's instructions about Dhamma. And when he says that, you got no one to get off the bus. He's going to keep going deeper and deeper into these ideas. I'll reach you himself in the future to explore that even more. But already a lot to think about. The Rambam, the Rabban's kashas, the way he looks at Chumash. the way he looks at Pesukim that we have known for a very long time about Noach and about Hevel and about Bilam and Lechem Yishareach Nichach Hashem, but actually look at it with open eyes and figure out a little bit, you got to get a little bit of a tom of what this means.